our series of online Tuesday talks presented by staff at the Barber Institute of Fine Arts at the University of Birmingham. I'm Kirsty Clark, the Student Engagement Coordinator. Today we will be exploring Domenico Beccafumi's 1519 oil painting Reclining Nymph and androgynous figures within Renaissance art. Beccafumi was an Italian Renaissance painter associated with the Sienese school of painting, who was born in 1484 and died in 1551. The son of a peasant, he received the patronage and the name of the Tuscan landowner Lorenzo Beccafumi, who spotted his talent for drawing. This reclining nymph, painted on a wooden panel, originally formed part of the decorations of the bedchamber of the noble and influential Francesca Petrucci of Siena and his wife, Caterina Piccolomini, where it was used as a headboard. With its themes of love and fertility, it sat alongside other panels in the room in a series illustrating virtuous heroines from antiquity. The androgynous figure in the centre has been identified as Venus, the goddess of love, sexuality and fertility, but has also been interpreted as a water nymph due to the setting, with the figure reclining on a mossy and fecund riverbank. The figure is accompanied by a puto, a representation of a small, naked, often winged male child, who is holding a whirligig, a spinning windmill toy, perhaps signifying the transience and disquiet of love. What may immediately strike the modern eye is the reclining figure's gender-ambiguous appearance, with a feminine face and breasts but an athletic masculine physique. Such androgynous figures are a familiar feature in the work of the Italian Renaissance masters like Michelangelo and Leonardo. These figures now provoke a variety of reactions, from mirth to awe, wonder and serious academic questioning. One reason offered for this representation of anatomy is that the standards of moral propriety limited the availability of female life models, and so enterprising artists simply used men as models and then applied the head and breasts of women to the male bodies. This explanation is not totally satisfying, as there are many examples of wholly female forms from the period. Whilst we can perhaps imagine the artist, exasperated by the lack of access to female models, resorting to what could be termed as a cut-and-shut method of painting, it's more difficult to imagine a wealthy patron being satisfied by this approach. It seems likely that the Renaissance viewer of such figures perceived them very differently to us, their modern counterparts. Perhaps one possible explanation can be found in the differing philosophical understandings of sex. Contemporary American historian and writer Thomas Lecure argues that there was, in the 16th century as there had been in classic antiquity, only one canonical body, and that body was male. The classical Roman surgeon and philosopher Galen held that all bodies were essentially male. That is, they held all elements and properties of the male archetype, but that women's bodies were deformed versions. Lecure suggests that the idea persisted into and perhaps was reborn in the Renaissance. Though contested by contemporary historians such as Catherine Park and Monica Green, this one-sex model has been a prominent way to examine depictions of sexes in Renaissance art. Alternatively, the use of androgynous figures in Renaissance art has been linked to the artist's sexuality. And perhaps the use of masculine physique simply shows the sexual preference of the painter. This explanation, however, again requires that the patrons be satisfied with the results. Perhaps homosexuality, which was common in Renaissance Italy, simply influenced the broader aesthetic values of art. Another explanation is that androgynous bodies were being used due to the fascination of such figures in classical myths. The writings of the ancients were being rediscovered and incorporated into a rising number of secular paintings at this time. These texts are abound with androgyny. In the Athenian philosopher Plato's Symposium, we find Aristophanes' tale of Androgyne, the original human whom the sexes were combined, and then there's the tale of Hermaphroditus, the son of Hermes and Aphrodite, who united with the nymph Salamachus to form a single body. But perhaps the most appealing explanation is that androgynous figures were simply seen as beautiful and aesthetically pleasing in their own right. Mario Ecocola, an Italian Renaissance humanist, claimed in 1525 that the effeminate male and the manly female are graceful in almost every aspect. While we might not come to any firm conclusions about the use of androgynous figures in Renaissance art, considering the various possible meanings invites us to question our own received certainties about sex, gender, bodies, and beauty. It is all too easy to imagine that society's ideas of what is male, what is female, and what is beautiful are universal and eternal. But by looking at works like Reclining Nymph, we see that this is not the case. We might conclude that the ambiguous and uncharacterizable has always existed, and that the absence of certainty can itself be beautiful. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday talk. We will be taking a short summer break before starting the series again in September. If you have any questions or would like to continue the conversation, please get in touch with The Barber via info@barber.org.uk or our social media platform.